The scripture reading for today is Matthew 2, verses 1 to 11. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he went to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, and I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is the word of the Lord.
Do you remember your first trip to the planetarium? Probably with your third grade class. More excited to leave school than actually learn anything about science. You know who you were. You find your seat, impatiently waiting for the show to start, ignoring the withering look of your teacher. And then... wow. Incredible. How can we be so small, but so special? That is, I believe, how the wise men must have felt. These magi got quite the star show themselves. Except, it was just one star. One bright, magnificent, piercing, brilliant ball of fire. And boy, did they bet a lot on that star. But just like the one they were traveling to see, this star stood out as something special. This one beckoned, "Follow me." And what a payoff. When they arrived in Bethlehem, they asked, "Where is the one born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." And it got me thinking, is worship a little different the harder the journey to get there? Struggling along the road with others? The type of trip that tests your faith and breaks your back? What's that worship like? I can't speak for the wise men. Maybe they shouted hallelujah, or they knelt in quiet reverence. We've all walked our own difficult journeys. And when we got to the other side, we all felt it. The joy we had to fight for tasted just a bit sweeter. And for that bright morning star, the one that caught you in awe when you saw it, well, what else can you do but rejoice when you realize that the journey was always leading you to Jesus?
As that video started, I was thinking about the planetarium at the Grand Rapids Public Museum. How many of you have been there? Right? It is quite an experience to see that for the first time. Are there any fans of The Office in here, the TV show? Do you remember the episode where Michael and Dwight get in a car to go to a meeting and they put the destination in the GPS and they end up in a pond? Why? Because that's where the GPS told them to go. It said to keep going straight, so they kept going straight. I'm assuming none of you have ever ended up in a pond, hopefully. But have you ever done that where you've gotten the car, got your cup of coffee, you put the address into your GPS, and suddenly you find yourself staring at a dead end with a cornfield in front of you, thinking, this isn't where I wanted to go. Right? It happens. And that's a silly story about travel, but let's get real here, right? Sometimes that happens to us in our lives. We have a plan. We know where we want things to go. We've got our life course charted out in front of us. And then something happens, a detour. Something pushes us off course. There's a funny meme that I've seen online where it says, how I planned my life, and it's a graph, and it's a straight line, right? And how my life went, and the line is all over the place, right? Many of us can relate to that. And we had a plan that we were going to go from here, and then to here, and then to here, and we were going to end up here. And we ended up over here, and up here, and down here. And sometimes you go, God, what are you doing? I look back on my life, and there are times where, in the moment, I was thinking to myself, God, what in the world? Why am I here? And now I look back, and I go, oh, that's what you're up to. And if I'm completely honest, there are also times where I look back, and I go, God, I still don't understand why we had to do that. And maybe it will be clear someday, or maybe not till I meet him face to face and I get to ask. But life takes us on all kinds of twists and turns and detours. And what if each one of those detours, each one of those turns, each one of those times where you thought you were veering off the plan, off the path, what if each one of those was leading you to Jesus? I've said this here before. You know, I knew from the time that I was in sixth grade that I would be a pastor someday. And it took me until I was 48 years old. And I've said to you before that had I become a pastor in my 20s, I would have been a horrible pastor. I was not ready. And some of the hardest things that I've gone through in my life are things that prepared me to be a better pastor. I still have a lot to learn, trust me. Really. Thanks, Louie. Appreciate that. Right? We've all got a long way to go. We've got a lot to learn. But there are things that I experienced in life which at the time I thought, God, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to do this? Why is this happening to me? And some of those difficult experiences are the things that have helped me to understand people better, to empathize with people better, to be able to come alongside somebody and say, I haven't experienced exactly what you're experiencing right now, but I've experienced pain and loss and hurt and heartache. And I get it. I understand. So sometimes those detours in life, they're leading us right where God needs us to be. And that's the story of the Magi in Matthew here, right? These guys, the evidence tells us that they probably came from Persia or Babylon, which is an area which on our maps now we would call Iraq, right? Somewhere in that region is where they came from, and it was a long journey. They didn't have clocks or watches back then, right? The best thing they had to tell time was a sundial. And so they were very much focused on the stars to understand the seasons and when to plant and when to harvest and when the different seasons would come. Was all based on their watching the stars. So there were people who it was their livelihood to watch and understand the stars. And it's likely that these magi were people like that. They were astrologers who studied the night sky. And in that day, it was often believed that when a new star showed up, that it was evidence of a new ruler, a new king, a new emperor. Now, often, it wasn't necessarily a new star. It might have been a time where a couple of planets came into alignment and they shined brighter than they had before. But to them, it was a new bright light in the sky. And so here, these wise men from afar, they've seen this light. And they've been studying, they've been reading, and they know the prophecies. That there is supposed to be this Messiah to be born. And so they follow the light. And it's a long, hard journey. It's a journey through the desert. It's a journey that requires planning and provision and protection. And I'm sure there were detours along the way. And they didn't know exactly what their destination was, but they followed. And where did they end up? Not in a palace, not in a throne room. They ended up in a stable, looking at a baby in a manger, a feeding trough. And what did they do? They bowed down and worshiped because of what they had read and studied and understood. It's interesting, there's that phrase in there. It says, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. It's kind of a strange phrase, isn't it? In the Greek, it's the word joy right next to each other in different forms. They rejoiced joyfully. They had joy upon joy. They were joyfully joyful. How would you interpret that? Right? Like, super excited. Not just, oh, I'm happy. Right? They had joy on top of joy that they had found this child. Now, if it was going to be a local ruler, a local king, they wouldn't have traveled so far. So it's quite possible that they understood the depth of this prophecy. That this is not just a new king, but this could be the Christ. Christ meaning Messiah, the Savior. And what did they do? They saw the child. It says they bowed and they worshiped and they presented him with gifts. Archaeologists have found, actually, evidence of similar journeys across the desert. And as I said before, these journeys were not easy. They required an extensive amount of provisions and probably a security detail to get them through the desert. It was a long, hard journey. So these men, they weren't just tourists on a little vacation. They were pilgrims. They were following something that they believed in. That was important. And they weren't Jews. It says they were from the East, so they were not part of the Jewish nation. They were not part of that clan. So these were people, they were Gentiles who had read and heard the prophecies and saw the star and were willing to go to great lengths to see what this prophecy was all about. So how does this story speak to our hearts? This Thursday, we're going to have our longest night service. It's a time where we lean into the fact that there are many people who go through this holiday season, and And it's not exciting. It's not happy. There's a lot of hurt and pain that gets stirred up during this time. Many of us carry that pain into the Advent season. What do we do with that? It's possible to feel like you're running on empty when everybody else is singing Joy to the World. But as I was saying to the kids, there's joy runs deep. Happiness is based on our circumstances. Happiness is based on what's happening around you. Right? Happiness is based in pecan butter pecan ice cream. Right? With some extra caramel and pecans on top. That's happiness. No? Okay. But joy runs deeper. When you understand who Jesus is, when you understand the gospel, the good news, that God loved you before you even knew who God was, that God loved us while we were still sinners, that God loved us while we were broken, while we had our backs turned to Him. When you understand that good news, that creates a joy in us that runs deep. Where? Down in my heart. Right? It runs deep. Deeper than circumstances. Because the joy that we have in Jesus, it's not based on ease or comfort or outside circumstances. It's based on the presence of the Savior. It's based on the fact that God came near. I don't know if you remember our Advent series from last year. It was called The Protagonist. And we talked about how God wrote himself into our story. Do you remember this? We talked about Shakespeare and Hamlet, that there was no way for Hamlet in the story to know who Shakespeare was unless Shakespeare wrote himself into the story. And that's what God did for us. There was no way for us to truly understand who God was unless he wrote himself into the story. And in this Advent story, the story of Christ's birth, that's when God writes himself into our story. He comes near. He came to live as one of us. That is where our joy comes from. Not from butter pecan ice cream. And it doesn't ignore pain, right? True joy doesn't just push the pain aside and pretend that it's not there. It pushes through. It shines through the pain and the hurt and the loss. It doesn't ignore it. Many of you know the name Ludwig von Beethoven, right? Heard of him before? He wrote some music, some pretty good music, some of it. By the time he composed Symphony No. 9, which is arguably his most famous piece, he was completely deaf. This piece that we know as the Ode to Joy. This beautiful piece of music. He couldn't hear a thing. He didn't know what it sounded like. And yet, out of the silence, he writes this piece. This piece that it's played at weddings and graduations, even launches of spaceships, they play this music. He wrote it in complete silence. His joy, his music, did not come from what was happening around him. It came from a place deep inside. In fact, when they played this music for the first time, he couldn't hear the applause. Somebody had to turn him around so he could see the standing ovation. Imagine that. I can't comprehend, as a musician, how you would even sing or play an instrument if you can't hear what you're doing. And yet there was something deep inside of him that drove him to compose. And it wasn't comfort. It wasn't outside circumstances. It was a deep conviction. Now think of Advent. The Israelites have been waiting for a Messiah. They've been waiting for the Christ to come. Living in darkness. Living under Roman oppression. A land occupied by another government. No choirs of angels every day. No miraculous signs in the sky. And yet they still hoped. They still held on to the hope that the prophecy would come true, that a Messiah would come to save them. Why? Because the promise was real. Because hope had a name. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, literally in Hebrew, means God with us. God with us. That's the promise. Not that everything's going to be wonderful. Not that life is always going to be happy. But that through all of it, God is with us. God is by your side. When everything falls apart, when life feels unfair, when you don't know how you're going to go on, God is there. Emmanuel, God with us. And so now we, like Beethoven writing in silence, we can live with joy even when life feels quiet. Even when it feels like there's nobody there that understands. Even when prayers are unanswered. When the music of life is muted. Because our joy does not come from what we can see or feel or hear right now. It comes from the presence of Jesus Christ. So just like Beethoven created a masterpiece of joy from the silence, you and I can experience deep, unshakable joy in Christ, even if the circumstances around us don't change. And so the question is, what do we do with this? How do we live this out? The wise men, the magi, they sought him. They worshiped him. They gave generously. And then it says they went home by another route. They had encountered Herod on their way there, and Herod had said, yeah, go find this child and then report back to me. And because of what they saw, because of what they experienced, because of a vision that came to them, they went home changed. They went home by a different path. A changed path for changed people. Now, God may not be leading you with a literal star, but he's still leading. He's still guiding. Now think about this. Why did God lead them with a star? Because that's what they understood. That's what they did. They were astrologers. They studied the night sky. So where is God going to lead them? You want to study the sky? Fine. I'll put a light right here to guide you along the way. He didn't point them in a completely different direction. So God leads us through things that we already know and understand. He might lead you through your daily Bible reading. He might lead you through a conversation that you have at work or a conversation that you have with a friend. Pay attention. Listen. Where Is God leading you? In 1914, Ernest Shackleton, do you know this name? He led an expedition. Their goal was to cross the Antarctic. And so he gathers a crew and they get in a ship and they head off towards Antarctica. And what happens? Not too far into their journey, they encounter ice. A lot of ice. Enough so that their ship became completely packed in ice and could no longer move. And the ice created such a pressure that eventually the ice crushed their ship. Why do we know this story? Not because they succeeded, not because they made it across the Antarctic, but because they didn't. And what happened when they didn't? Not a single person on that expedition was lost. The way Ernest Shackleton led his men through this incredibly difficult and trying experience is why we know this story. That even though they didn't reach their goal, they didn't accomplish what they set out to do, but they survived. They made it home. It's a story of leadership and perseverance through hard, horrible, difficult situations. In the same way, your journey might not be going the way you wanted it to. It may not be going the way you expected. And yet, God is still with us. He's still at work. He's still leading. He's still guiding. And just like the Magi, your path may not look the way you expected it, but it can still lead you to Jesus. And once you've encountered him, you don't go home the same. You don't follow the same path because you've been changed. Just like the Magi did not go home the way they planned. They went home through a different path because they had been changed by what they had seen and heard. So maybe your GPS isn't taking you where you thought it would. Maybe you've taken some detours. Maybe you've made some wrong turns. Maybe you forgot to check the GPS a couple of times and ended up on the wrong road. But all of that was leading you here to Jesus, leading you to where you are right now. You may not have all the answers, but the joy that you're looking for is not in answers. It's not in circumstances. It's in the person of Jesus. You see, the joy of Advent is not a mood. It's a miracle. It's not found in ideal circumstances. It's found in a barn, in a feeding trough, in a baby that would become the Savior of the world. So this week, I want you to keep seeking Jesus. Listen. Listen to hear where he's leading. And let your life reflect the joy that you find in him. This week, be the light for someone in your life. Be the star that leads them to Jesus. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for these stories. God, we thank you that you provided a star to lead these wise men. That you changed them through the experience that they had. And God, that you lead us through ways that we don't understand, down paths that we don't like sometimes. But you're always leading us to yourself. You're always leading us into deeper relationship with you. And God, help us to listen. Help us to hear where you're leading and help us to follow. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.